What's up, Dialed fam? Happy Wednesday and welcome to the Strength Training for Cyclists podcast by Dialed Health. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and operator of Dialed Health, and I'm very, very stoked for today's episode because we kick it off with a short interview with ex-World Cup downhill racer Ryan Kondrashov. Now, I'm very proud to say that he's a part of the Dialed fam because when I first started racing, this was the guy. This was the guy from my local area who had made it in downhill, and he not only had made it in downhill, but he was just really the culture of downhill racing. He exemplified it on so many different levels. And so to talk to him now and to be helping him with his strength programming really means a lot to me personally for all of those reasons. But what's so cool is that Ryan really understands riding at a pro level, and he has transitioned into a role at Specialized Bicycles where he's on all different types of bikes, from e-bikes to road bikes to downhill bikes, and he rides moto also. So he's very active with his riding, and after all these years of the racing and riding and nonstop two-wheel action, he's committed to a strength program, and we're going to get into it. But hearing about his results just after 6 weeks and how specifically it's helped out his low back and kind of stopped these weird spasms from happening after days on the moto is really cool. So you'll enjoy that interview. And then after that, hopefully you enjoy that interview. Should I not assume? I won't assume you enjoy it. It could be the worst thing you've ever heard, but I have a feeling if you turned on this podcast that you will like it. So after that, we're going to go into navigating holiday food and drink. So obviously this is a timely episode because this week is Christmas. A lot of people are celebrating Christmas Eve, Christmas. We go into that weird dead week of, just eating and drinking and being total slobs between Christmas and New Year's for a lot of people. And I want to give you some tools and tips to help navigate that. So you just do it in an intentional way. I want you to enjoy it. I'm not going to be here telling you that you should not eat holiday food or drink alcohol or whatever. I just want you to be intentional and not wake up January 1st like, who am I? That is the real goal. And after that, we're going to get into a conversation about negative self-talk while training. Really detailed, interesting question that I think a lot of you guys will be able to relate to. The guy who wrote this in really sets the stage. And I think that it's going to be nice talking about it because I recently did an Instagram post about something similar, and we'll touch on it as well. Now, finally, we'll finish at the end of the episode talking about me kind of getting my swagger back. It's a little bit of a motivational rant, and it's very personal and very transparent. So hopefully that you'll enjoy that. But I feel like this weekend, I was just talking and riding with a buddy. I had this kind of revelation, more or less, and I'm excited to bring it up to you guys. I hope it inspires you the way it inspired me, or at least maybe it could just help, I don't know, help you go into the year with a mindset that doesn't allow certain barriers to hold you back. Is that like the vaguest motivational coaching thing you've ever heard? It is. I promise I'll make it more clear as you get into the episode. And then finally, we have some really cool website announcements that are dropping before Christmas. They're actually live as you're listening to this, so stay tuned for that. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I really hope you're enjoying it. If you are, please rate me on the Apple Podcast app, 5 stars, and just write anything positive. And if you could leave a Google review, that would be huge. Google reviews are something I cannot do for myself and have huge impact on the success of the website. So thank you guys so much for that. Let's jump in. Today we have a testimonial from a new, kind of new Dialed fam member, but we go way back. Ryan Kondrashov, welcome to the Dialed Health Show.
Thank you. Yeah, happy to be here.
Sweet, man. I've never actually called it the Dialed Health Show, which that actually felt awkward, but I'm not taking it back. We're going to roll with it because you are actually, I got to give you a shout out, someone I've looked up to for as long as I've been downhilling. When I started, you were the guy, the downhill guy, NorCal legend, and don't even try and deny it. So anyways, it's an honor working with Ryan, and we've been going back and forth for like 6 weeks now, getting him set on really one of the first consistent strength programs he's done after all these years of riding. And I know you have World Cups under your belt and all this experience. You ride pretty much every type of bike now, and you work for Specialized, so you get to just use pretty much anything you want, from e-bikes to downhill bikes to trail bikes and everything in between. And you also ride a ton of moto. And the reason I'm having Ryan on the show for this testimonial is because he surprised me with one of the biggest moto cases I've ever seen, just a video he sent me through text. And he said, "Hey man, I just did something gnarly on my dirt bike. It was sketchy, but my body actually handled it. And so kind of give me a rundown of what happened on the moto and then what you think about your training that really made the difference, at least in keeping you healthy.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It was, we were out riding at Riverfront, which is out in Marysville, and I was following a friend of mine, and he's a more experienced moto rider than me. And I would go so far to compliment him and say he's a much better moto rider than me. And we hit the finish line jump, and after the finish line, there's a left-hand berm straight into basically a table with a roller that's like out. And I knew that he was tripling it. And as soon as I landed off the finish line jump, I looked over and I saw my wife with the camera up, and I just got starstruck and excited. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get it on film. And sure enough, I just came up like a full wheelbase short. And I knew the moment I came basically at the base of the lip, I knew I didn't accelerate enough through the corner and I was coming up short. And there was that moment where I was like, man, I've just recovered from a collarbone injury. And here I am, life flashing before my eyes. and luckily I cased it really badly, as you can see, but I just feel like from the strength training I've been doing that I had the muscular coordination and literally the strength to hold onto the bike, because
to be able to brace and take it.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about bracing was, is I feel like if you're not strong, you're going to lock out. And yeah, you could get a serious injury from doing that. But I was able to like absorb it. And I got bucked really bad and my feet flew up, but I was able to even grip the bike still. So I didn't like get thrown over the handlebars or blow my feet off. And I rolled away and I was kind of like, wow, like I'm fine. And I was blown away by that. And then also too, like I had shared with you before, is that I'd been working through some really bad back problems before breaking my collarbone, where I was struggling with like my low back locking up after consecutive days or even one hard day of riding moto. I just, and even riding downhill, and I was just feeling it, and I was like really limited, and I was kind of limping myself. And the thing that really stood out to me that really resonated and like why I wanted to send it to you was, my back feels fine. Like I feel fine this week after having like one of the biggest cases of my life.
Yeah.
And you know, that to me just meant a lot and really said a lot to the work that I've been doing, which was like, I was happy for myself, but also just so grateful to you for, you know, putting all this together and like synthesizing something that is manageable and for me to fit into my week. So yeah, dude, thanks to you, man.
Thanks for saying that. And you also mentioned that you went from basically this crazy back pain after one day of riding moto before you started all these new core workouts, and now you had multiple days riding back to back, and then you throw in a case like that on top of it and you're still able to walk the next day and be a functioning human. And so that is really from a minimal dose, if you had to talk like a doctor, because you know, we've done 2 guided core workouts per week, some specific stretching, some foam rolling, but that's it. We're talking about an hour and a half of work max that you've added and spaced out throughout the week. But when you started implementing it, you were very cautious to not overdo it. And talk about that for a second, because I think your approach to starting was perfect. And it's hard to really explain that to people, because people, especially when they do choose to start, they're like ready to go. They're ready to jump in. And so how did you go about that start when you included these core workouts?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was like a really interesting time, because I was coming off of basically 2 months of sitting on a couch, you know, like,
yeah.
So I knew I was really out of shape, and like, I literally could see the volume of my muscles was down.
And this is from the broken collarbone you mentioned, just to clarify for people. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So broken collarbone, like I had to just sit around and like, so coming back in, I did my first workout, core one, and dude, I was smoked for days after that. And it was hilarious. But, and I felt a little discouraged. I think that that's like something people need to be okay with, is like, Dude, I didn't feel like on top of the world. I was like, oh man, this is a bummer. This is hard, you know? And I just gave myself some time. And instead of trying to fit it into 1 week, which is kind of like the prescribed, way, I started just kind of going like, well, what day do I feel like I can do another one? And I just gave myself the room to do it, listening to my body. And then also I took the bailouts. Like, I didn't do the hard versions. I did the easy versions, and then when I felt good, I did the harder version, and I felt so much reward in that. So I think it's really cool how you put that out there, and I think that there's a way to ease into it, and I definitely would recommend that, and there were weeks that, like, the first 2 weeks I did one workout a week. I didn't do two. Like, I couldn't do two, either, like, trying to line up my schedule, changing a new habit, bringing in something new into my life. I just didn't have, the routine going. But, having 6 weeks in and having nailed a couple 2 week, two workout weeks, and then on top of that, feeling the results, something like this, I'm so fired up to, like, get my workouts in and be even more consistent now. So it's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we just kind of talked about how to schedule your week and take it to the next level. You're going to start including one TRX workout per week and switching the guided core workout. And so I give you props, man. I think that not only your start as slow like you did was the smartest thing you could have done, but also to not pressure yourself to fit in everything in the first week right away and to say, okay, maybe I think you mentioned like an 8 day cycle or just whenever I can get the next workout in, as soon as my body's ready, I'm going to do it. And you did it. And a lot of times the structure behind the weeks, I mean, there's definitely science behind it, but a lot of it is for a schedule and organization and for people to really grasp how they're going to include things just to build a real routine. But it's something I've never mentioned before is just to be okay with maybe instead of looking at, hey, I'm going to do the two workouts in the first week, you can say, I'm going to do it in the first 10 days and give your body time to recover. And just that slower, smoother start so you can really implement the new habit and then not freak yourself out with all the new stuff you have to take on and maybe how blown out you are from a 25-minute bodyweight workout, like you said the first time. It can be discouraging, but you kept at it and you were smart about not trying to do the hardest thing first. So you just did so many things right. You're doing them currently. And I want to thank you for just coming on the show and kind of sharing that new experience with it. Anything else you want to mention to the Dial fam?
Yeah, man, I think the last piece that, we spoke on the phone a little bit about yesterday is a little bit about, like, man, this is like, as an old pro, someone who, used to race at a really high level, man, I really wish that I was doing this 10 years ago when I was competitive. I know that it would have, one, extended my career, improved my results for sure. And I think that I would have hidden it. I wouldn't have told other people really as much about this. And I think that that's, like, an important thing now for anybody who's listening to this, is, like, if you're already doing it, pat yourself on the back because you're doing the right stuff to be able to have, like, the best day on your bike or, the best ride of your life or whatever. And if you're a racer and you're competing, like, pat yourself on the back again because you're setting yourself up, the right way. And kind of, if you're not doing this, you're really missing out if you are a competitive person. It's not hard to do, and I just really believe in that. Yeah, it's made a huge difference for me, and I'm stoked to be able to ride more days with less pain. And that means the world to me. And one last thing, Derek,
Yeah.
is, believe it or not, I felt a little sore today from the weekend. I did core workout 3, and it actually made me feel better afterwards.
Oh, come
So
on. That's good right there.
yeah, no, honestly, like, I could feel, like, a little bit of that tightness coming in, and just the movements and the motion, it just loosened me up, freed me up, alleviated any pain. I'm super stoked for the next one. So thanks again.
I can't think of a better way to end it. So thank you for that, Ryan. You're the man, and we'll talk soon. For anyone else that's listening that really wants to help dial in their schedule, feel free to shoot me an email. I'd be happy to go back and forth with you about that. I do it with quite a few members. And to be honest, at this point, I had mentioned it to Ryan, but it's honestly like the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I'm going to come up with a more long-term system that really allows for just, I'd say, generally better communication, easier communication for everyone. But for now, shoot me an email. And we also do have the new form. This is going to be a part of implementing just easier communication. So check that out on the website. The first forum topic is going to be the Dialed Health Shred. And we're just going to get connected that way. So stoked to help you out, Ryan. Have an awesome rest of your week and crush that new schedule. Our first question or topic is brought to you by none other than Jeff Kopp. This is at PockFedge on Instagram. If you've been listening the last few weeks, he is responsible for some really great topics like late night snacking, alcohol, and he mentioned that he doesn't want to hog the show, but he said, hey, if you got time to talk about navigating the holiday food and drinks, I'd really appreciate it. So here we are. He just brings up topics that really hit home for me. And because Christmas is right around the corner for most of us, and then we have New Year's, I wanted to set the stage like it was your actual day and you're hosting a party. So we're getting very specific here, but I wanted to kind of set this up for you to walk you through an entire day of how you're specifically going to handle this holiday party that comes up. Now, I will give you a little disclaimer. I kind of wish I would have done this a month ago before Thanksgiving happened, but I thought I had covered it last year and I realized, oh my gosh, I just did a Thanksgiving survival guide. I didn't do like a general holiday one. So anyways, we're doing it now and this is where we're gonna start. Imagine you are hosting a party at your house, right? So this is the day of. Now, the first thing you gotta do is nail your workout that day. And as you do that, because it's like obvious reasons, if you know you're gonna eat bad, at least get your workout in. But I want you to keep this in mind. If you have a week, let's just say for instance, where you do less workouts but you eat really well, you're actually gonna feel great. You probably recovered a little bit, but when your nutrition's on point, you feel awesome. And even if you didn't get some crazy adaptation to a hard workload that week, you're still gonna feel really good. Now on the flip side, if you do more workouts but you eat really bad, you're just gonna feel bad. There is no amount of exercise that will outdo a bad diet. And that is the realest thing I can tell you. I mean, there is no amount of intervals that's going to make you less hungover. There's no amount of squats or planks or push-ups that you can do that is going to make the lasagna you ate for lunch. I can't say that word right now. Lasagna, the leftover lasagna that your grandmommy made for lunch, there's no amount of that that's going to make you feel better. So really keep that in mind. And I wanted to say that right away because although nailing your workout is mandatory for that day, even bonus points if you can go ride, because obviously the calorie burn from a big ride is going to be even more than you're going to accomplish with a strength workout that day. But either one is going to be great. It's going to stoke your metabolism and you're going to at least be on point and check that box for the day. But I don't think it should give you this pass to just absolutely send it because you're still gonna feel terrible. All right, so keep that in mind. The next thing I'll say is that you should be eating super clean all day. So let's say it's the morning, you nailed your workout. I have to burp, excuse me. Oh yeah, that just happened. So if you nail your workout in the morning, now you are planning on eating super clean all day because like almost like you're in a deficit. Now still fuel your workouts. You should surround your workouts with carbs, make sure you get in some protein. But I would say you should be on the minimal side of carbs and you should be on more of the maximal side of protein and making sure that maybe you're tracking that day or you're just sticking to foods that you normally track with when you are in a deficit. So even the little things make a difference. You know, creamer in your coffee, yolk in your eggs, olive oil spray versus butter. Like these are the little calorie things that start chipping away 100 calories here, 100 calories there. Because the reality is that night you're going to make up for any carbs or fats most likely in whatever treats they're going to be at this party. Even if you do have a meal that is high in protein, it's probably going to be so high in carbs and fat that, you know, when you look at the macro breakdown, you're going to need to like kind of start combating it early on. And that's all you're doing is like you're coming in with a good offense for these meals that are about to happen, because I'm not going to tell you not to enjoy it. But here's the thing. So you get your workout done, you check that box. You eat clean all day like you're in a deficit, you still feel your workouts, you come in light, you come in fresh, you're drinking your water. And now when the party starts, you go to the party, you're hosting the party, you don't want to go hungry. trust me on this one. I have done it where I'm like, okay, I am going to crush a workout. I'm going to eat bare minimum, and in fact, not enough. And I'm going to come to this party hungry and ready to eat. So when I eat, I don't feel as bad because my body just like needs to burn it. It needs this like calorie intake. But the truth is, if you go hungry, you're just going to eat so much more than if you weren't hungry. That is obvious. But I have been on the other side of that, so I just had to throw it out there. Don't go hungry. And in the words of Jeremy Scott, one of my favorite trainers in the general fitness industry, you should be eating protein and produce. Say it with me, protein and produce. Meat and veggies, people. Leading up to this, so even if you have to have a meal like on your way out the door of just some protein, some vegetables, you get that protein, you get that fiber in, then you know, okay, all these treats I'm gonna eat are pure fat and carbs, and I'm probably not gonna be craving as many, or like at least walk in the door and beeline it for the snack table or the hors d'oeuvre table or whatever it may be, because you're calm, you're not walking in there starving. So don't go hungry, protein and produce. Walk into the door with a little bit of control, have some composure, okay? You're probably seeing friends and family. You can't just be gorging yourself. Trust me, I've done it. And looking like a slob out there, okay? No one wants to remember that. So once you walk in that composed state, you then want to focus on small portions. This is where it gets difficult because guess what? The drinks are starting to flow. We learned last week that really the alcohol calories aren't what do you in. It's more so certain neurons getting fired in your brain. They're telling you that you're hungry, and it's also your lowered inhibitions. Things happen, right? So sticking to small portions can be difficult, but that is your go-to. Like, I want to go enjoy all these amazing baked goods, and the truth is you probably aren't going to get them all year. I think that's kind of a whack excuse because you could say that almost about anything. Well, I never eat fried chicken. Well, I never eat these brownies. Oh, I never eat this pie. But and that can just go a little far. But the truth is, it's like, when do people make these kind of baked goods? And some of the flavors around the holidays are insane. The maple, the cranberry, the gingerbread. Like, I'm on a gingerbread kick right now. And if I saw some insane gingerbread cookies, I'm gonna have it. So I wanna go and enjoy it, but going in not starving and having a plan of small portions, at least it's in your mind, and maybe you could start off, you eat slow. I would say also, if you are a sampler like myself, I like to go in and taste it all. You know, like when I do get treats or donuts or whatever it is, I like to get a lot, even if I'm not gonna eat all of it, which unfortunately sometimes I do, but even if I'm not gonna eat all of it, I like to sample and find out which one's the best. Sometimes I like to mix and match. So I would go in there, you try everything that interests you, and then you go in on the one that's worth it. You go in on the one that's really good, because not all of them are gonna be. And sometimes you'll be surprised. You're like, holy smokes. Like, I just, my wife's baby shower, there was an insane amount of food there. It was, I had to get out of there because although I'd say I'm pretty metro for a guy, you know, there's just this female energy at a baby shower unlike anything I've ever experienced before. I mean, it is a vibe, like you have to go. So I grab my son, I'm like, I gotta go, but hold on. I gotta also get a sample of what's going on here first. That's how good the food was. So I stuck around through that awkwardness, that weird tension, and there are these like Russian tea cookies, the powdered sugar cookies that are kind of like usually dry and flaky. I don't know why those were, I would never normally choose those, but I tried one and for some reason it was by far the best thing on the table. And that's what I went in on. So I would say go sample in, find out what's worth it, and go in on that with the idea in mind that you're sticking to small portions, okay? Don't waste your calories on something that's not worth it. Now, after that, here's where it gets real. It's the leftovers. And this was something this year I think I realized more than ever, just being at home more, especially just with the less events. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, people are dropping stuff off, or we would go somewhere and then we bring something home, or we host this party and now we have all these Rice Krispie treats left over, or all these cookies or all these brownies, whatever. And that is so real because, you know, when it's in the house, it's just that much easier, or it kind of haunts you or torments you. But really, here's what's happening. It only torments you if you are not committed to a plan, okay? And what I mean by that is you have to be so intentional as soon as that party is done with what you're going to do with those leftovers, that if you just kind of keep them around because you don't want to throw them away or waste, which I understand, but you are concerned about eating them all because it's not in line with your goals, And you haven't really drawn a line in the sand where you're like, I will not eat those until the weekend. I will not eat those unless I'm riding. I will not, like, you have to have some sort of a boundary. If you don't have that boundary, now it's a problem. So what I would say is create that boundary and believe in the power of commitment. And I say that because last time I did kind of like a hardcore tracking dieting stretch, it was like 7 weeks, and I was so committed to the plan that I went out and bought Oreos. And Oreos for me are without a doubt the number one food that I cannot control my portions of. Like, it's so difficult. And as I mentioned before, scientifically proven to be the perfect balance between sweet and salty. I kept these Oreos right in the center of my pantry. So every time I opened my pantry and had to reach for my oatmeal or my cereal or whatever I was grabbing, I had to reach over the Oreos. I kid you not. But I was so committed to not eating the Oreos, they just weren't an option. Like, when I looked at them, I'm not going to say I never craved them, but I literally saw them and I was like, it's just not an option. I committed to not eating them, and that's how serious I was. And I have to thank you guys for that. Really, commitment comes also from accountability. And the job I'm in, understanding that I want to be a leader and I want to lead you guys through the process, that is a huge level of accountability for me. So what I also did was got a friend with me. And this is my landlord, Dave, shout out to you, because he was doing a food tracking, I'd say, stint at the same time. And he did, I told him about what I was doing with the Oreos, and he went up to me. He homemade his favorite brownies, or it was some kind of, confection, like baked good. And he put it in a clear plastic Tupperware container on his counter, like the middle of his island. So it wasn't just in his pantry. Every time he was in his kitchen or around his living room, he could see it. And I thought that was the most savage thing I have ever heard of. He dieted. He did not touch him. He left him there for like a month. It was awesome. So I'm not saying that you have to do that to prove a point, but to me, it really showed that when I'm committed, when I've drawn a line in the sand and I understand what I am or am not going to do, then it's much easier than kind of leaving it around and kind of winging it. So those are all my suggestions as far as navigating the holidays. I'll give you a quick little run through again. You have to nail your workout. Just understand you can never out-exercise a bad diet. Eat clean all day, almost like you're in a deficit, but still fuel your workouts. Do not go to the party hungry. Protein and produce, people. When you get there, maybe sample, pick what's worth it in small portions. After that, decide what you're gonna do with the leftovers, and you're gonna be in a lot better position than if you went in just kind of winging it. This next question is from @JoeMatrani. Joe, thank you so much for giving us all the context that you did, because it really helps us understand why you were feeling the way you felt. So here's what he wrote. He says, today I was doing my Trainer Road program, 4x8 minute sweet spot intervals. Well, the first two sets went okay. Oh, by the way, you guys, earmuffs. Earmuffs are coming. But I felt like dog shit, especially compared to my unbroken 5x10 minute sets last Saturday. I've got a baby and I haven't been sleeping good lately. I delayed eating today, but I had some Red Bull and espresso. Needless to say, I was starving and hungry, but I hit the workout anyways. I mentally, which by the way, it kind of sounds like he understands already why that workout maybe didn't go the way he intended. Like, he knows that he didn't fuel properly. He hasn't been sleeping great. But we'll get back in his question. He says, I mentally started to feel some negative self-talk about how I sucked and wasn't performing or even feeling good physically despite it being my own doing. I started to say, F it, what's the point if I feel like crap and can barely hold on? My headspace and disappointment in myself simply affected me even more. And another side note here, it's interesting he says that, because it's almost like he was disappointed about being disappointed. And that's the most funny human weird thing I think we do, where you're mad about being mad. And it's so funny how that snowballs. So we'll get back into his question. He says, I pushed through and did my best, but how do you manage the mental headspace when every day isn't a great day and you don't always feel awesome? I'd love to hear what you have to say about personally dealing with off days from whatever exterior things are affecting you, and how real that can be for someone regardless of their riding ability. Example, and this is a really good point he makes. He says, one would think a pro racer riding at 80% of their best is still better than 99% of others, but I can imagine that for that rider, they still feel some serious inadequacy. And that's so true. It's relative to whatever your optimal level of performance is. Wherever you're at, whether you're 2.5 watts per kilo or 6 watts per kilo, you know what your best is and you felt it before. And that's what you're comparing yourself to constantly. And it's something just came in my head, and this is really funny, but it was a gym quote from this like parody gym video. And it talks about how the first day you get a pump and see yourself in the mirror, you never like your body again, because you're always comparing your body to like your pump body, you know, where you're pumped up post-workout, you feel good. And then when you see yourself totally flat, like in the morning, you know, maybe you're retaining a ton of water, all of a sudden you think about yourself in that pumped up state and you compare and you're like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. So we all know, whether it's like performance or aesthetics, what your best is. And that becomes like this new benchmark, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, it is relative. And so this applies, I think this advice applies to anyone, no matter what fitness level you're currently at, what skill level you're currently at. So first off, what I would say that you have to do, and this is what I do, is that you have to acknowledge that you're consistent enough to even know when you're having a bad day. A lot of people aren't. A lot of people just feel like riding or their workouts are the way they are. This is how it feels. This is what to expect. But when you're consistent enough, you understand that days can feel wildly different. And for you to really acknowledge that is something worth patting yourself on the back and giving yourself credit for. Because we all have bad days. We really do. It's so cliche to say. In fact, Ricky Carmichael has a great quote. He says, "You win titles on your bad days." And he doesn't say you win titles if you have a bad day and turn it around. He says you win titles on your bad days. It's not if a bad day is going to happen. It's when a bad day is going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's really your response to that and sort of your like damage control mentality behind it that is going to allow you to prevail. And that's how Ricky Carmichael is now the GOAT, apparently. And so what I would say is, like, for me personally, I have 1 to 2 bad workouts a month on average, whether it's a ride, whether it's a workout. And I would say sometimes you can acutely correlate it to something. You know, I'm very sore from this. I'm very fatigued from this. Or, man, I just, you know, never warmed up properly, or I was time constrained. I didn't have a structure to my schedule. And when those obvious things happen that you can point back to, or for you, you're saying, oh man, my nutrition wasn't on point. Like, I didn't eat enough. I took in more caffeine than normal and I haven't been sleeping well. Well, that's kind of, you know, that's a recipe for not feeling good. And for me, when I know that those circumstances are occurring, it's harder for me to see it as a bad day. It's more like a learning lesson of like, okay, I can point it back to this. I know that I'm not feeling great, but there's an obvious reason. And that is something to be very serious about. And obviously you don't want to start using things as an excuse, but there's a point where you have to analyze what you're doing. Because if you're a cyclist, if you're riding, if you're strength training consistently, you know, your performance gains are going to come down to like these marginal gains. And this is interesting because it's going to segue into our next topic, which is marginal gains. But that's what it comes down to. You have to analyze this stuff at a certain point so that it's constructive, so that it happens less frequently. But I would say, even for myself, it's 1 to 2 times a month I have a weird workout, and sometimes I can't even point it back to something. And I'd say that's when it's the most frustrating. And that's when you have to really take a breath and be like, okay, what can I do here? And you literally have to come from that adaptive mindset where it's like, okay, this is what's not working in my workout. This one exercise, this one set, this one weight, this one interval. Now, can I make a slight tweak to it to get through it at my best, even if it's not what I plan on doing? Now, that's tough, but the adaptive mindset and the adapt and overcome, I guess, mindset is what is going to help your mental fortitude in the future. Because next time it happens, you'll say, hey, I wasn't able to do what I intended, but I still got some good stuff done. And that's truth. It's not like you just threw in the towel and didn't do anything. I mean, that's the worst thing you can do, because not only do you not get the stress adaptation on your body physically, but next time it comes up, your first response is going to be to throw in the towel again. So you cannot do that. You have to alter it and tweak it and do what you can do, opposed to just calling it quits. That is going to bring on such a weird, long, downward spiral effect of, I guess, your reaction to this, because it's not over. It's not going to not keep happening. So remember that, because, and like, if that motivates you to keep through your workout, is just understanding how it will impact your future decisions, I think that's enough. So remember that you are building your habits based on your reaction to this. So push through. And if it's really not working, just pause, take a breath, think about how you can adapt and keep going. And one thing I posted actually on Instagram recently was that you have to have this mindset of like, I don't have to do this, but I get to do this. And even though it's not going to magically add watts, it could. I mean, your perceived effort, if you're feeling a little bit happier through a workout or a training session, it probably will make things go a little bit smoother, easier, make you feel like you're stronger. But the reality is that you don't really have to do this training. If you are a pro athlete and you're listening to this, this is your job. Well, even then, you still don't have to do it. You get to do it. You get the opportunity to train like you do. And that is such a blessing. And that came from that came from a video I saw recently of this guy who was born with literally no legs, one arm, like one finger on his one arm, and he's going through the gym, basically uses his one arm as like a crutch to move around on his like stumps for legs, to be honest, is, you know, what they are. And he's talking about how grateful he is to be able to get in the gym and work out and exercise and move freely because he knows people that are on bed rest. And now this is also connects to a later topic we're gonna discuss, which is like a comparison thing, but it's a reality check, okay? You get to do what you're doing. You're consistent enough to know when you're having a bad day and you can adapt and overcome and set better habits for yourself ongoing in the future. So that is the way to look at it. It is very relative based on your fitness level. And Joe, I hope that helps a ton. We're now jumping into a very transparent conversation that I wanted to have with you guys about getting my swagger back, maybe about getting your swagger back. And I'm happy we're having it on really the last episode of the year because it has to do so much with what happened this year. You know, at the beginning of the year, kind of end of 2019, I'd really hit all the goals I had set out for myself as an in-person trainer. And, you know, once coronavirus hit and I was forced to shut down, I can't tell you how humbling that was. I was just so humbled by that because I feel like I felt like no matter how smart I am or how hardworking I am, or no matter almost what I do, I could have this crazy out of my hands, out of my control scenario happen that wipes all that work clean. And that's truly what happened. I mean, it's crazy looking back at this year. I don't even know how I'm laughing about it at this point. I'm just so grateful for obviously how the online has worked out. And even the risks I'm continuing to take are serious. But it's like I've had this weight with me all year of that, where I look back to my 2019 self and I'm like, man, that guy was naive. Man, that guy was cocky. Man, he thought he had it all figured out. And although I think in a lot of ways I was naive and I don't know, I was accomplishing things I never really had thought possible. In fact, if you know me personally, like I've come a long way in the last 5 years. I really have. I've changed so much fundamentally as a person. And I would say really I've just gone from a dreamer to a doer. And that's the biggest transition I've made in the last 5 years. Instead of just dreaming it, which I'm still good at, I'm still creative. I have these awesome brainstorming sessions. There's no lack of ideas or inspiration or anything like that. But it's always about taking action and following through, for me at least. And you keep going when the going gets tough. I think that was also a thing with riding for me. When things really started getting hard and I'm racing pro and starting to compete against the world's best is when I'm also kind of like doubting what I can do. And that's the time where I kind of pull back. So I've had to conquer so many of those habit demons over the last 5 years. But the biggest one is going from a dreamer to a doer. Now, up until 2019, just more and more great things kept happening where I just kind of felt, I don't want to say like on top of the world, but there was an energy to what I was doing and a confidence that I have not had since the shutdown. I really haven't had it. And it came to me as I was driving up for a mountain bike ride this weekend and I was talking to a buddy about it. And it's like, I've been so focused on wanting to not only not get too, I guess, cocky. I haven't really had a chance to get cocky all year. And I'm not like that externally, but sometimes internally, it's like you have to pump yourself up and you have to, you know, just tell yourself things to get that confidence back. And it's not things that aren't real. A lot of times they're affirmations, sometimes they're goals, but they're things to just fire you up. Like I have my daily mission statement. I do have these affirmations that I say daily, and it's that constant feed of motivation that you need to just be at your optimal energy. And I've not had that all year. Seriously, it like clicked for me. And I'm like, why haven't I had that? I'm like, okay, it's obviously being humbled by this experience, which is very real. And it's like this fear to get back on that confidence level, to only have it taken away again. It's like, I almost will never again be able to think that I got it, you know? And I want that feeling. Although I'm grateful that I won't maybe let my guard down as much, or maybe I'll be a little bit more forward thinking in the future. And I'm proud about how forward thinking I've been even in the last couple of years, because that has been what's allowed me to pivot and make this a successful transition to online. My online platform was set up in 2019. We just redid it for the, you know, this September, but we were already able to like grow as soon as this happened. And I was able to immediately divert my attention. In fact, I even closed my gym studio 3 days before we were technically mandated to be proactive, because I was already thinking, okay, I need extra time to, well, it's funny, I'm laughing now because I explained this in a podcast interview. I was on the Growth Swag podcast recently, and that's going to come out after the first of the year. So stay tuned for that. But you're going to get a crazy behind the scenes look at how this happened this last year and the business behind Dialed Health. So I think you'll really enjoy that. But I digress. I'm coming back. So really, it's like when I was able to make that transition because those things were in place, because I already knew I was reaching the ceiling of what I could do in person, yada, yada, yada. So I had these things in place, ripped away from me, but I'm like, okay, I'm finally at this point now where, although I have more overhead, Dialed Health last month, the website produced more revenue than I have ever done in-person training in my career. The most money I've ever made in the last month. Like if you were to compound it over the year, right? And so that's what we're always doing. As an entrepreneur, you're always just looking at your best, the best week, the best month. But truthfully, it was a huge accomplishment to get back to the point where I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is real. Like I'm doing this. But I'm like, why have I not been able to enjoy it? And I think it's that crazy humbling effect of what's happened this year. And so when I'm like, okay, well, I'm so humbled. Okay, that's real. I don't want to lose that. But what else has been going on? Because there's more. And I think it's because I am compassionate and I want to help people. I really do. And I want to help people through Dialed Health, but even more, like when I get to a point I want to celebrate this year because of the terrible things that have happened to people with their health, their family's health, their businesses, their whole life's work gone. You know, I'm the lucky one where I've been able to pivot and be successful in that. And that is so rare for what's been happening. I'm not the only one, but I am the exception. And I understand that. So for me to celebrate feels disrespectful. And what I'm going to say next, I don't want it to be taken wrong, but this is something I have to let go. I cannot let the weight of all the terrible things that have happened this year affect the positive things that have happened to me personally. And although I want to help, I am fighting, and I've been fighting all year to do everything I can just to make sure my family's safe, to protect the career and the job I've worked for, you know, since I've been working, essentially way before that. Oh my gosh, you know, now with mountain biking connected, it's like Dialed Health has almost started when I was 12 and got my first mountain bike, it feels like. And so it's like I've been so focused on wanting to help other people, but there's been this friction because I've just been fighting to survive myself and my family and think long-term and protect us from this happening again in the future. And, you know, my wife does hair, so she didn't work for 2 months. She's not getting paid. She's about to go on, I'm forgetting the name for the pregnancy leave, whatever it's called. She's not going to be able to work for a while. She doesn't get paid. There's no one paying her. She runs her own business. So there's all these things, the pressure of the twins coming, the reality of people maybe not coming to the studio, or and just all this crazy timing and the pressure and this and that, to where I'm like, oh my gosh, this has been very hard. And although I want to help all these other people, I have been fighting for myself and my family. It's like the airplane metaphor where you have to put your oxygen on before you can help other people. And that's the part I don't want people to take wrong. But the truth is, I do care about my family more than other people. You should care about your family more than other people. You should care about yourself and your life and the impact you can have more than anyone, because everything starts from your home. I really believe that. And I'm not the only one to say that. I've gotten that from other people, and it's so true. It's like you have to personally reflect on what you are doing to solve the problem that you want solved. You can't constantly be pointing the finger. And even for myself, although I want to extend all this help and do all that, it really hasn't been within my capacity. And this weekend was the first time all year that I've really accepted that, where I don't see it as an excuse. I just see it as like, oh my gosh, look at this reality. You know, I've overcome these insane odds, and it's taken every bit of me to do it. And I wish I could help and do more for other people who aren't as lucky as I am to be in the position that I am, but I'm still fighting. It's not like I have this security. I was just saying on the podcast, like, I don't have a savings, and I don't say that for any, I don't want any sympathy or anything, but like, I am putting every dollar back into Dialed Health. I bring home the amount of money that pays my bills and takes my wife to sushi, and like, that's it. And that's it, and pays for my gas, you know, to go riding or whatever. And I'm fortunate to have these like sponsors and all these people helping. So it's like, for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, really look at it, dude. It's not like you've been the exception. You've been successful. This is growing. This is ultimately what you wanted anyways. Like, I almost feel like in hindsight, I'll see that this year has sped up the process by a couple years for the online platform. I really believe it has, but it's also been a fight, and it's taken everything in me. So accepting that I can't extend the help that maybe I would want to, or that I see other businesses doing, you know, where people just boom, drop 10G donation, boom, drop donation here, event here, fundraiser here. And again, it's just, I'm not saying I can't do it, but like, holy crap, I've been fighting just to hang on for myself and my own family. So it felt really good to acknowledge that. It felt really good to accept that. Shout out to my buddy Cody for just kind of like, I was talking to him about it, and we were talking through it. And it was crazy what he had said to me. He actually said that airplane metaphor, and that's what connected the dots for me. I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this has been me all year. And anyways, it's like, you know, I'm trying to like save these people from suffocating, but I'm losing oxygen myself. So yeah, it's been crazy. So since then, okay, that got very deep. I'm sorry for how far that went. But since then, it's like a weight has been lifted, to where I'm like, okay, it's okay to focus on yourself and figure this out. It's okay to accept what's been happening and understand there's terrible things happening to other people, but you cannot fix all of it. The best thing you can do is to get your family thriving. And from that position, you'll be able to help more and have more impact. And don't get me wrong, we are doing things right now with Dialed Health to extend help. I personally, you know, tithe 10% of my income. I'll just say that very clearly. My church is very active in community-driven events and organizations and delivering meals to families. Like this time through the holidays, it's insane what local churches do. And even knowing that is, and the hope they bring to people, the prayer, like all this stuff. I'm not going to go too far on that, but I am doing what I can. I want to do more, and I'm accepting that that's okay if I can't do everything I want right now. So anyways, the weight's been lifted, and dude, I feel like I got a little bit of my swagger back. I do. I feel like, oh my gosh, man, like, look what we're doing. Look where we're going. This is exciting. Like, let's bring this energy back into my work, back into my life. Let's lift the weight off a little bit, enjoy these individual moments, and just ultimately take that energy and put it into the work, put it into the product that is really going to add the value and serve the people that are, you know, supporting Dialed Health. So that's my mission, man. I'm feeling good. If you feel the same way, like, I would just say, if you feel the weight, acknowledge what it is. And I'm not saying it's completely gone. I mean, it is easier to get pissed off this year than ever, right? I mean, it is so, you don't even know how to act. Like, all these common courtesy, that you don't even know what to do sometimes. And it's so frustrating to, like, if you feel like you're walking around with your guard up constantly, that's very real. But personally, behind closed doors, I want you to have that weight lifted. And I hope this helps. I thank you. That actually felt like a little therapy session, kind of getting it out that way. But that's it. So if this helps you out, I'd love to know. So yeah, shoot me a DM, shoot me something like that. We're gonna go into some announcements, and then we'll wrap this sucker up. Get your swagger back, people. Let's go. We have some huge announcements in regards to Dialed Health. Today is December 22nd, Tuesday, as I'm listening to this. I know you're listening to it maybe on Wednesday or after. But as of today, we have the No Equipment Flow program live on the website. We promised it before Christmas, and it is now here. I'm so excited to bring you this program because it's fun. It is a fun program to do, and that means we now have two No Equipment programs on the website, which they're both two-month programs. And the big difference that you'll see from phase to phase for the two phases is that you move from muscular endurance to muscular endurance and power. And that transition is noticeable. And it's cool because this is such a, these are such non-traditional movements. And with the lack of equipment, periodization can be difficult, but we accomplished it with these 2 month blocks. And so when you see the two difference between the programs now, you'll notice that we have the no equipment flow and the no equipment hit. Now that the HIIT program is the old program. We just titled it differently to more accurately describe what it's really doing. Obviously, we have a ton of strength work. There is stability work, a ton of mobility, but it's more on the clock. It's not by rep. You start the clock and you just go. You focus on the movement and you can count reps as an option for you. And that's a great way to judge your progress, or you can just focus on the movement, let the clock roll and get it done. Now, the new flow program is a little bit more structured like a traditional program. We have a collective warm-up where all the movements are in the same video. And then you move on to the strength round, which is very complex in regards to stability. And I think you're gonna enjoy the challenge and just the creativity there of how do we hit the 7 effective movements without all of the equipment. It's really cool. And then we go into a flow round to wrap it up. And the flows are just fun. Like, they are so cool. And the way they tie together the strength round is incredible. So I would say if you are a beginner or more intermediate, I would say, I was going to say workouter, or if you would consider yourself in the strength world with your strength workouts, a beginner to intermediate, really make sure before you start this flow program, just like every other program, that you learn the essential movements. Now, the 4 essential movements we have videos for on the intro page before you start, it's shoulder packing, hip hinging, posterior tilt, and a squat and lunge video. When you learn these techniques, they're really going to carry over into your program and make sure you stay as safe as possible, and also make sure the movements are as effective as possible, because sometimes even if you're in the right position, not focusing on certain engagement may not target the right muscles. And I don't say that to have you overthink it, but the reality is, you know, I'm a trainer who spent so much time with proper structure and this long time periodization, perfect formatting, access to all equipment. And with a lot of those things out the door right now, it's like, okay, how do we do something that still follows the science that we believe in with enough, I would say, variety and enough complexity to make it fun and also to keep it safe for people. So by nature, bodyweight workouts tend to be more safe than loaded workouts just because, you know, no external load. But I want you to take your time learning these essential movements to make it as safe and effective as possible. So check out the No Equipment Flow program. There is now 4 months in total of programmed no equipment workouts, along with the guided workouts, which we're gonna have like a guided workout program, a way to link them together soon. And I have some ideas for a future kettlebell program of, I don't want to give too much away now, but there's a lot of cool stuff coming out. All I want to say, the point I want to make is there are so many options for no equipment workouts now on the website, whether you want more of a HIIT style program, a flow complex style program, really focused on stability, or a program or workouts that are more focused on just your core. So take your pick. It's all there. Let me know if you start it. And the Dialed fam will be getting an email about this very soon. Probably as you've probably already gotten it as you're hearing this, in fact. So stay tuned to that. Now, the next announcement is the forum. We have a forum on the website that is so surreal. And I'm going to preface you. It's like the most, is it a disclaimer, preface you, prepare you? It is the most basic a forum can be, which is okay. You know, I compare a lot of what I do to Trainer Road, and I'm not trying to just swagger jack everything they're doing, but they're really like a great example of how to do things correctly. And the details they have behind stuff are incredible. So going to their forum, it's like, oh my gosh, like we are so far from this. But the simple fact is we can now connect with other Dialed Fam users and support each other in a very quick, easy way that hopefully will make you want to come back and check the website regularly, if not daily, because we're going to use the forum first for the Dialed Health Shred. I can't think of a more, I would say, focused niche part of the community that can come and support each other during a specific time. But after that, I'm still deciding on, you know, how we really should separate these forum topics and the conversations. You know, do we separate athletes? Like, this is the road forum, this is the enduro forum, this is the downhill forum, this is the XC forum, yada, yada, yada. I'm not really sure. That's kind of the route I'm leaning right now. But nonetheless, the forum is there, and just prepare yourselves to go use that thing. It's going to be awesome. You can input links. We have the replies on it. It's going to be all chronological, so you can't have these like sub threads yet. But it's coming. Don't worry. I'm very excited about it. So stay tuned to that. If you are doing the Dialed Health Shred, I really recommend you going to this forum daily and just making sure you're keeping up with all the cool video links and just extra content that you're going to get from there that you aren't going to see on my Instagram or even hear about here on the podcast. And last announcement, this is not about the website. I just want to let you guys know we are skipping next week's podcast. Heads up for that. I typically don't do one podcast around a holiday just when the timing's weird. And for me, the timing's really weird because I have a little family trip that we're doing between Christmas and New Year's. And so I'm looking forward to that. And it's going to require me to just spend more time with the family. And I want to take advantage of it. So no podcast next week, but the first week of the year, not only will I be dropping a pod, but we have that other pod that I was featured on come out with the Growth Swag podcast. So just a heads up for that. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dialed Health Podcast. I really hope it adds some value to your week. If you want me to answer a question that you have specifically, shoot me an email to derek@dialedhealth.com. That's derek@dialedhealth.com. Let me know in the subject line that it's for the podcast, and I'll make sure to answer it in as much detail as possible. Also, if you are listening, please share it to your social media, Instagram in particular, tag Dialed Health. And just show people that you're listening and enjoying the podcast. That really helps the show grow, which it is growing, by the way, which is so freaking cool. And I will say, if you have not signed up for dialedhealth.com yet, go and support your boy. Holy smokes, get signed up. Get some sick workouts. Get some workouts done. I need 2 total body strength workouts every single week without fail. And remember, they don't have to be insane. Remember from Ryan earlier in the episode, take your time, get into it slow, and just work up to something that's manageable because you will feel the difference. And that's it, guys. I hope you have an incredible week. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and happy holidays. I will see you after the new year. And remember to start moving forward and discover your path.